We're at a standstill. This is probably the long month in history. The longest Lent I've ever lived through, I suppose. I think it was only supposed to be 40 days, but I'm not quite sure. I've lost track of time, I'm sure, as many of you have. But we're going to go to the book of Exodus today. And, you know, the Israelites were in captivity for 40 years. They were in captivity in Egypt. They were persecuted. They were treated horribly. They could not worship God. And they were people that cried out to God all the time. Moses, the leader, would cry out to God that God would set the people free. And we know that during this time in some of the previous chapters, the Passover occurred, and Passover is yet to come. We still have a couple more weeks before we'll actually celebrate Passover, as Jesus did. However, the Passover occurs, and then God allows, finally, the Israelites are going to be set free. Finally. After 40 years in captivity, by the way. Slightly longer than the 40 days that we're going through our captivity, if you will. But needless to say, chapter 14, we're going to pick up the story, and God is going to instruct Moses as God often does, and we're going to see where this scriptures, some familiar to you, but also, as always, a different take on it this morning as the interpretation comes forward by the Holy Spirit. Chapter 14, verse 1. Then the Lord gave these instructions to Moses. Tell the people to march towards Pi-Hahiroth, between Migdol and the sea. Camp there along the shore opposite Baal-Zephon. Then Pharaoh will think those Israelites are confused. They're trapped between the wilderness and the sea because the Israelites had left. And so now God, instead of sending them directly across to the Red Sea to cross over to the Promised Land to get away from Egypt, God sends them on a detour. So I guess we're all on some kind of a detour right now in our life, for sure, for sure. God had reasons for this, however. Those Israelites are confused. They're trapped between the wilderness and the sea. And once again, I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he will chase after you. I have planned this, so I will receive great glory at the expense of Pharaoh and his armies. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. When word reached the king of Egypt that the Israelites were not planning to return to Egypt after 3 days, because Pharaoh had let them go and they were supposed to go back after 3 days, instead God had other plans, as we know, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about letting the Israelites even go and worship. What have we done letting all these slaves get away, they asked. So Pharaoh called out his troops and led the chase in his chariot. He took with him 600 of Egypt's best chariots, along with the rest of the chariots of Egypt, each with a commander. The Lord continued to strengthen Pharaoh's resolve, and he chased after the people of Israel who had escaped so defiantly. All the forces of Pharaoh's army, all his horses, chariots, and charioteers were used in the chase. The Egyptians caught up with the people of Israel as they were camped beside the shore near Pi-Hahiroth, across from Baal-Zephon. Okay, I probably should have looked up these words earlier today. Pronunciation thereof. As Pharaoh and his army approached, the people of Israel could see them in a distance, marching toward them. So get the idea. God says to the Israelites, go get camped, stay over here. And while they're camped, ready to go and be free, here comes that whole army, 600 men, chariots, and all kinds of people bearing down upon the Israelites. And the Israelites see what's coming at them. As Pharaoh and his army approached, the people of Israel could see them in the distance marching toward them. The people began to panic, and they cried out to the Lord for help. Right? Something bad is coming towards them. The armies are coming towards them, right? So, of course, they panic and cry out to God for help. That's what we always do when things are approaching us or scaring us or coming against us. We stop, many times panic first. That's kind of what I do, panic, and then cry out to God for help. Maybe I ought to reverse that. Maybe if I cried out to God for help, maybe I wouldn't panic. I'm going to try that in the coming ensuing days. A new me. Who's to say? Hey, yes, all right. Congregation's happy about that, especially the ministerial team. Then they turned against Moses and complained, right? Oh, boy. Why did you bring us out here to die in the wilderness? Weren't there enough graves for us in Egypt? See, first the Israelites, if you precede all this, they beg to leave, right? We want out of this situation. And as soon as you start to get out of this situation, a leader makes a decision, right? Tells you what to do, like stay home, right? And so what happens? Why are you telling me this thing? I don't want to be here, right? Human nature. I got to love it. Why did you make us leave? See, one of the things that often happens as we go through change, as we go through grief, as we go through what we're going through now, which is major upheaval and change in a variety of ways, one of the first stages of that is, first of all, we deny this can't be happening. Then we begin to bargain with God. Please don't let this be happening. We don't want it to happen. And then we go into our, I call it the blame game, where we get angry. And whose fault is this? And instead of fixing the blame, and I know there's blame to go around, we could all say that, okay, you want to verify that, whatever, whatever. That's not the point here. We fix the problem. We don't fix blame. Blame doesn't help us. Why something happens or how it happens or where it was caused by or whatever that is doesn't mean a thing when we're in the middle of a crisis. If there's a fire that breaks out in your house, however it happens, it's not the time to yell at the person who left the stove on. What we want to do instead is put out the fire. Get out of the house. Get safe. But human nature is, as soon as something bad happens, many times that's part of who we are, we start to find blame. And unfortunately, you know, God had told Moses, take your people and leave. So Moses is following God's guidance. God's told us, stay at home. We'll do online services. You know, we'd like to be with one another instead. The government has told us, stay home, be safe, right? So guess what we're doing? We're following those instructions so we can be safe. It's just common sense, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to be angry at the person that told us to do that when you start getting cabin fever, right? Anyway, so... Next verse. Didn't we tell you to leave us alone while we're still in Egypt? I don't remember the Israelites telling Moses to leave him alone. I don't think he didn't say that. They were begging Moses, beg God, get us out of this mess, right? Now they've changed their tune, right? Didn't I tell you to leave us alone? No. Our Egyptian slavery was far better than dying out here in the wilderness. I'd rather die a slave than die in the wilderness. I don't know about that statement, because in either case, you're dead. So I don't see how one's better or worse than the other. And they're assuming they're going to die, right? They're assuming that. That's what fear does to us. We imagine the worst. That's also human nature. Verse 13. But Moses told the people, and this is the power of what leadership is about. And especially those of us that are in ministry. We're here, hopefully, to calm your nerves, to help you have faith and trust in God, to, yes, admit we got something bearing down at us. It's scary times. We have no idea what's coming at us, and sometimes we don't even know what the future holds. But in the meantime, we have to trust in God, because that's all we have. Ultimately, God is the one that's going to see us through no matter what it is. And so Moses tells the people, don't be afraid. Just stand where you are and watch the Lord rescue you. So this is where we're to stand still, right where we are, shelter in place, wherever we are.
Sorry, I couldn't hear what you said.
Wow, sorry. I had it on Do Not Disturb, anyway. Shelter right where you are. Stay safe. and wait for God to rescue you. God will rescue us. God is a rescuer. There's no time that God has not rescued his people. Jesus Christ himself rescued us from sin. He rescued us from pain and sorrow and suffering, and he rescued us from even death. So we have been rescued already, and more rescuing is coming. So we're to stand still right now and watch what God will do. God's up to something. God is miraculous. I believe and trust in that. God will see us through this. This is a time where, while we're standing still, we watch and see what God's going to do. And we wait. Next verse. The Lord himself will fight for you, and you won't have to lift a finger in your defense. Then the Lord said to Moses, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. So that's part two of this, right? While we're sheltering in place, standing still, we can get moving too at the same time. Like exercise, maybe? Praising God? Moving our mindset from fear and worry, changing the channels. I mean, those of you that have TV clickers, as I call them, I guess they're called remotes nowadays, but those of you that have that, you can change a channel to something more positive. You can open your Bible and go through the scriptures. That's moving through the Bible, moving through the Word. There's plenty of online devotions. There's kinds of things all over the place that are positive that you can get moving into. While we're standing still waiting for God, we go into the Word of God and we take some action, walking outside, exercising, whatever you can do, wherever you are, you can still move. And while you're waiting. Next verse, use the shepherd's staff, hold it over the water, and a path will open up before you through the sea. See, that's movement on Moses' part, right? So in a way, those of us that are praying every night at 7 and praying throughout the day and night, and I don't know, every time I'm awake, it seems like I'm praying. That's us using our shepherd's staff to say to God, move this mountain out of the way. Open this sea up. Open up healing and restoration and open up people's minds for creative ideas about how to solve the problems that we're in. Open up our hearts and minds to one another and continue to let us reach out and connect with each other, even if it's only through Facebook or the telephone or FaceTime, however we can. That's a way where we can pray together and lift people's spirits up. And so we lift up the shepherd's staff and so that we can part the problems that are in front of us. Parting the Red Sea. This is think about this. The Israelites on one side, they see Pharaoh coming towards them. The other side is the wall of the water. They're in a valley situation. And I don't know about you, it's kind of like between a rock and a hard place. Can't go that way. You can't go back. I mean, life will never be the same for us. Never. Life is always about change. It won't be the same. We'll be stronger and better, and we'll see God move. And many of us will see how we can help one another, and that'll help us each grow. By our time alone with God, God will speak to us through the Word, through other means. We'll grow spiritually through this. We're still in a Lenten time. We still have a relationship with God and with each other. That'll continue. So we're going to grow through this. We're going to grow through this, spiritually speaking, because that's the only kind of growth that ultimately matters. People will come to Christ that never came to him before as a result of what's happening right now. They'll find refuge and they'll find rescue and they'll find peace of heart and mind and eternal life through Jesus Christ at a time like this. So he says, use your shepherd's staff, hold it over the water, and a path will open up before you through the Red Sea. Then all the people of Israel will walk through on dry ground. Notice this, God is saying what's going to happen ahead of time. If you pray, if you hold up your shepherd's staff, God will open up the sea. He's going to say, you will walk through the situation. You will walk through on dry ground. We're all going to walk through this together somehow, some way, and get to the other side, wherever the other side happens to be for all of us. It's good news. Next verse. Yet I will harden the heart of the Egyptians. They will follow the Israelites into the sea. Then I will receive great glory at the expense of Pharaoh and his armies, chariots and charioteers. When I am finished with Pharaoh and his army, and all Egypt will know that I am the Lord. When God gets finished with this pandemic, everybody's going to know that God is the Lord. When lives are changed and transformed and people come to Christ because of what we're going through and people gather together and unite in prayer and love each other again. You know, January seems so long ago too. Do all things in love. That's our theme for our church, right? We can love each other by staying at a distance from each other. We can drop off groceries at somebody's door and let them receive it later. We can clean things up. My role, I'm doing it well. We can clean things up around us so that other people aren't infected or we don't infect others. We can pray for each other. We can sing to each other. We can communicate with each other. And eventually we'll hug each other. Yes, we will. That day will come again. That day will come again. I'm holding on to that hope and that belief and that trust. Yes, we'll hug. And we'll comfort those that have gone through loss. There are people right now that we know of who are infected, people that their family members are infected, people that are in hospitals on ventilators. We're praying for all of them. Some of them will not make it out alive. But we're praying for them that we know and believe that Jesus Christ will come for those people and take them into paradise and have eternal life. And we'll comfort those in their time of loss. And we'll be here for people to help counsel them through this with the words that we have and the love that we have. So there is a future. There's always a future with God. There's always a next morning after the night of weeping. Then the angel of God who had been leading the people of Israel moved to a position behind them, and a pillar of the cloud also moved around behind them. The cloud settled between the Israelite and Egyptian camp. So I'm asking for a cloud of protection in between us and all the world and all this disease and virus. I'm asking for a cloud to get behind and in between that. That's what I'm praying. That's what I'm praying. The cloud settled between them. As night came, the pillar of cloud turned into a pillar of fire, lighting the Israelite camp. So look, even in the darkest, darkest moment, God still lights up the sky for us. At night, when we're most afraid very often, we can go outside wherever you are, and especially when there aren't as many car lights on the road these days, and people aren't driving around, and it's not nearly as noisy hearing cars racing through the highway or whatever the case might be. You step outside and you listen to the silence, and maybe you hear the birds, you hear the seagulls, you'll hear something in the night, the crickets, and you look up and you see the stars and you see the light. That's God's pillar of fire over us to light our darkness. God is so good about that. Using even nature, especially nature, to help us see the light in the dark times. To know that God is always there, shining light down on us. And I know that the sun, especially, S-U-N, not just the S-O-N, Jesus, when the sun shines down, there's vitamin D that comes down with that as well. It also helps heal the land. So whenever you can, step outside, get into the sun in the morning. Watch the sun rise. Watch the sun set. Watch for the light. The pillar of that light was above those Israelite camp, even while they were afraid. Remember, they're still afraid, right? They're crying out to God. They're waiting to know what's going to happen. They were sheltering in place, not knowing what to do. The cloud became darkness to the Egyptians, and they couldn't find the Israelites. Then Moses raised his hand over the sea, and the Lord opened up a path through the water with a strong east wind. The wind blew all that night, turning the seabed into dry land. All night long, the wind. So the people of Israel walked through the sea on dry ground with the walls of water on each side. When did that happen? The next morning. Then the Egyptians, all the Pharaoh's horses, chariots, and charioteers followed them across the bottom of the sea. But early in the morning, the Lord looked down on the Egyptian army from the pillar of fire and cloud, and he threw them into confusion. Their chariot wheels began to come off, making their chariots impossible to drive. "Let's get out of here," the Egyptians shouted. "The Lord is fighting for Israel against us." Yep, the Lord is fighting against everything that's coming against us. When all the Israelites were on the other side, the Lord said to Moses, "Raise your hand over the sea again," and the waters will rush back over the Egyptian chariots and charioteers. So as the sun began to rise, Moses raised his hand over the sea. The water roared back into its usual place, and the Lord swept the terrified Egyptians into the surging currents. The waters covered all the chariots and charioteers. The entire army of Pharaoh, who were out to kill the Israelites, keep in mind, it's just, you know, they had to be stopped for the protection of the people. This disease had to be stopped for the protection of the people. All of the Egyptians who had chased the Israelites into the sea, not a single one survived. The people of Israel had walked through the middle of the sea on dry land as the water stood up like walls on both sides. This was how the Lord rescued Israel from the Egyptians that day. This is how. A famous story. We all know it, right? You've probably seen it when you were a kid, right? Charlton Heston, right? Okay. Oh, you're I'm way too old for anybody here. Lift it up. Lift it up. We're lifting up our prayers to God. We lift up all the people that are affected by this disease. We're going to watch what God does. And if you know anything about archaeology, you know, sometimes people think these are Bible stories and, you know, they're, you know, just a legend and so forth. If you study archaeology, they're at the bottom of the Red Sea. To this day, there are chariot wheels that coral has built up on top of that to prove the story is true. So what we're going to do is, just like the Israelites who were in captivity, stuck in their homes, if you will, held down, held back, and afraid, we're going to believe and trust that we have a future, that God is going to rescue us. We're not going to, I don't know how. I don't know how it's all going to happen. I have watched things throughout my entire life when God has always stepped in, and I expect God to do it again. I'm just going to stand still and then get moving in prayer, praising God, doing what I can, doing what you can to lift up people's spirits, to help people understand that even though we're being chased down from a disease and from all that it represents, a financial calamity that we're in and things of this nature, God is still going to rescue us. In the meantime, we stand still. And the only thing we move is our mouth sometimes, which is something I do quite often, as you well know, in prayer. And we know and believe and say words that are positive. God, I know we're going through a difficult time and it seems as though it will never end. And we need your help, God. But I know, God, I've seen you time and time again throughout my lifetime and throughout the lifetime and lifetimes of all the people written about in the Bible. You rescued. You lifted people up from the place where they were. You raised Jesus from the dead. And he's a risen Savior. And all of us will be risen up one day when that time comes. And you're going to rise us up now as well, God. So we lift up our prayers to you, God. We ask you, God, right now, and we're standing on your word. We know you can move mountains. We know you can open up seas. We know you can walk on water. We know you can heal disease. We know you can help people's hearts mend. We know that you can repair relationships. We know that you can bless and prosper us again. We know that even in the darkness, you'll send your light, and in the morning, we'll see your light shine. We know, God, that you will do what is necessary, however you can and will, whatever means you need You'll do again what you've always done. Shower us with love and blessings and healing and wholeness and your eternal, wonderful love. So, God, I pray this day that while we go through this time as we stand still, we watch and see what you're going to do. And I know and believe and trust, God, just like you helped those Israelites escape those awful days, you will do it again. As you've helped each of us escape those things in all of our lives and made us new and fresh and given us new life in you, you will do it again. So I thank you for that now, God. We stand on your promises that you will, in fact, rescue us. I pray, make it soon, God, whatever means is necessary. And tell us all, God, to just stand still. And when the time is right, to get moving again, praying for you, believing in you. In Jesus' name, amen.